Bill Flores joins us from in the district. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. Great to be with you on News Talk 1620.
Well, let's talk about business that you finished up before you got out of town. I guess, obviously, the budget. We talked about that last week. That was a big deal to get that done.
It was. I was a little bit worried about it because, as we discussed last week, we had some tension between those of us that are fiscal hawks and those of us that are defense hawks and those of us that are both, like me. And I think we were able to find a way to do both those things, to address the big problems with the nation's budget, and then also to address our primary concern, actually our primary constitutional concern, and that's the security of this nation.
The sustainable growth rate, SGR, as you call it, the doc fix, as it's also called, you were able to get that done, and that, puts that to rest now after, more than a dozen patches you'd put on it.
It's been patched 17 times. It cost the 17 patches cost $170 billion because they wound up being pork-laden bills that had to pass. And so now this is gone. And we've got some real Medicare reform for the first time since 1997. It was not a perfect deal, but overall it was a pretty good deal to take a really bad part of Medicare off the books.
So as you get back now, when you get back into session, what are going to be the top items on the agenda then?
Well, we've got several. Now we go into appropriation season, and this is the time where we take the budget. Well, there's two things. One is the Senate budget that was passed last Friday morning at 3 o'clock in the morning is different than the House budget that passed last Wednesday. And so we'll have to go together in the conference and come up with a common congressional budget. So, and then the appropriators, the people that actually spend the government's money, will use that budget as a go-by document in order to figure out how to allocate money to the various agencies of the federal government. The second thing that happens as part of the appropriation process, and I consider this the most important, what I call bureaucrat behavioral modifications. And so, for instance, my office has put in dozens of amendments into the appropriations bills to limit or what the bureaucrats are doing, which is outside the scope of current statutes, to basically clip the wings of the president and his bureaucrats. And then also we put in incentives to encourage them to do the right things, again, pursuant to the law. And so we in the Republican Study Committee have had a pretty aggressive effort to do this. I had Tom Grace from Georgia leading this effort for me on behalf of the RSC. And so I'm hoping to have several hundred amendments into the appropriations process to sort of right-size the bureaucratic regulatory machine in Washington and hopefully dial back the headwinds that are blowing into the face of America's job creators.
Let's turn our attention to international. Obviously, the Iranian deal was not finished on schedule, but they say that the talks are still going well. What are your observations there?
Well, I'm highly concerned about what we're going to wind up with. If you listen to what the French negotiators are saying, or representatives are saying, the German representatives, they're a little, for lack of a better term, freaked out about what the United States is doing. It does seem like the United States is siding with Iran on this. For the life of me, I can't figure out why, but the president seems to want to do something with Iran, even if it's a horrible deal. And That causes great discomfort among our allies that are at the negotiating table with us, and it puts Israel in a pretty tough security situation. To me, I think we ought to just stop the conversations, go back, put in stronger sanctions, and let the Iranians know we mean business. We're not here to just do this for show. But the president just has a totally different view on this, and I'm surprised the president wants to do this, but he's putting Iran in a position where they have two things. One is they have a definite path to a nuclear weapon, and secondly, their breakout time from where they are today to when they could have that weapon is actually shorter than a year, and that was supposed to be sort of the sacred thing that we were going to have in negotiations, is to extend the breakout period to something more than a year. Again, I'm highly concerned, but you got to remember the president's never negotiated for a taco. So, I'm highly concerned about what we're going to wind up with.
Well, when you're not before you came to Congress, you were in the oil business. I kind of want to shift gears for a minute and get your thoughts here. I think West Texas Intermediate closed at about 47.50 yesterday. Long term, what do you think that means for us here in the Brazos Valley, in your congressional district, and in the state of Texas?
Well, and let's start in the short term. In the short term, we're going to have some economic disruptions. I mean, we had high hotel occupancy rates, and the restaurants were always full, and our landowners around were getting nice lease bonus payments and also royalty payments. That income stream has gone dropped substantially over the past few months, and is likely to remain depressed for, I'm going to say, 12 to 18 months. So that's caused some short-term economic disruption. Also, the local governments, I don't think we have this problem with our local governments, but in some parts of the state, the local governments have gotten hooked on that extra income and started spending it, even though it's not a permanent source of revenue. So they're going to be hurting for a while. Now, longer term, there are two things that are happening. One is, the oil and gas community has reacted very aggressively to the drop in oil prices, and so they've dramatically cut their spending, their CapEx budgets, or capital expenditure budgets. When they do that, a lot of the reserves they're drilling tend to have what are called quick decline curves, and so by June or July of this summer, we should start to see production coming down from some of these big fields because the reinvestment in those fields has been slashed dramatically. So you'll start to see the supply go down. The other thing is that low energy prices, particularly low gasoline prices, are hugely stimulative to the economy. So I visited with one oil and gas guy on Monday, and he was saying it's like adding fertilizer to GDP. And that's probably the perfect way to describe it, is that low gasoline prices, low energy prices are going to cause some economic growth. And as a result of that, you'll wind up with a demand for energy will come up, and we'll be back in balance. You know, I'm not an economist. It's hard for me to predict, but I guess within 12 to 18 months, 12 to 24 months, you'll see supply and demand equalize again. You'll see prices come back to probably 60 or 70. That's good for consumers, and it's also good enough for the industry so it can begin reinvestment again.
Well, you know, the House in Austin spent 17 hours on their budget last night. I think they finished about 5:45 this morning. Senate's already gotten theirs out. I guess what is your observation as far as Austin? Do you think they've done a pretty good job of keeping their eye on this moving target?
Well, yes, and I think the comptroller's done a pretty good job of estimating where the revenues are will come out, and so the state is going to weather this a lot differently than it did when we had the crash back in the 80s. And as a result, I mean, we've got a rainy day fund. I think we've got better discipline on the spending side. And we've got a much, much more diverse economy than we had back in 1986 when we had the last huge price crash. And so it seems like they're being fairly responsible to me.
Bill Floor is joining us from the district. He's, in fact, Congress doesn't go back into session until, the 13th, is that right?
So That's correct. We start back on the 13th. I'll be in the district in Texas for the next 2 weeks. Also, we've got town hall meetings coming up. Waco is on Monday, April the 6th. We'll take care of Austin and our rural counties with the telephone town hall on April the 8th. And then most importantly for our Brazos Valley folks is that on Thursday, April the 9th at 6 p.m. at Rutter High School, we're going to have our local town hall meeting.
And there you go. And all right, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next week about what you're hearing as you travel through your district. Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays, most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Appreciate you being with us this morning.
You bet. It's great talking to you, Scott, and I'd ask your listeners to continue praying for our country and our military men and women.
All right, absolutely.